Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. John Diamond. This is the show America Unhinged, where we are fervently patriotic and unapologetically Christian. I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas holiday. We're here in upstate Pennsylvania, where we got anywhere from 5 inches to 3 feet of snow. Fortunately, we dodged that bullet. But it's going to be kind of appropriate for what we're going to be talking about here. We're going to have our good friend Bill Federer on with us, and we're going to be talking about Valley Forge. Valley Forge is one of those things that really is one of those things in sanitized history. If you follow this show and you follow the guests that we have on this show, man, it's amazing how sanitized and romanticized, I guess you would say, American history is. It's devoid of pretty much all faith. And then we just give such a small blurb of history. We don't understand really what a lot of people went through. We're going to be talking about that today. Come right back.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Judy Mikovits, and I just so appreciate Mike Adams and Brighteon TV and giving us a voice back as he's provided us the opportunity to talk. And we're coming here from Mannheim, Pennsylvania, in the Clay Clark Reawaken America. So thank you, Brighteon TV, and Mike, appreciate it.
You want to see Uncensored Truth, go to Brighteon.tv. They're a great partner with us and His glory. We love them. We love everything that Mike is doing. And go there for truth. Brighteon TV. God bless you.
I love watching Uncensored Truth on Brighteon TV.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com. Tired of being surveilled and tracked by the wireless phone companies and a rogue government? Get off the surveillance grid by turning to Volta Wireless. By plugging the Volta SIM card into your phone, you become hidden from the spy networks of AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and other carriers, while maintaining your full ability to place and receive phone calls and SMS texts. Go to VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV to save big on your first month. You get free VPN services included, plus a private messenger that's encrypted, as well as another Volta private phone number that can coexist with your current number. Learn more at VoltaWireless.com and use discount code BTV for major savings. It works with both iPhones and Android phones across 200 plus countries. Volta Wireless is the official wireless privacy sponsor of Brighteon.tv.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. Please find us at AmericaUnhingedRadio.com. We now have the entire Appeal to Heaven book, both in PDF and in audiobook, available for download. You can actually listen to it right there from your own webpage. So AmericaUnhingedRadio.com is the website. And we also have Dr. Alan Keyes, who's available for speaking engagements here come the first of the year. So if you're interested in having Dr. Keyes on, please reach out to us at imtv.us, and we will make that happen for you. I want to start off today with a kind of a scripture verse, one of Bill Federer's American Minutes. If you don't get those, please go to AmericanMinute.com, and he has blogs that he sends out. They're very, very informative, very easy to read. And as I was reading that, there was a scripture verse that came to mind. And I just want to read Romans 8:18 to you. That's just one verse, and it says this: "For I consider of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." And when you read that American Minute, and you understand what the Fighting Men at Valley Forge went through, I mean, really, not even just the entire Revolutionary War, it's just amazing the suffering that they endured to give us what we have today. So we're going to welcome back our good friend Bill Federer. Bill, welcome to the program.
John, great to be with you.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, this is just and I'm a student of history, and when I read your stuff, it takes me so much deeper than I even knew. I had no idea, 11,000 people, died on these ships, and all the people that died at Valley Forge. I mean, we get such a sanitized, romanticized version of history, and you just bring out the truths and the facts of the matter. So with the record-breaking freezing weather we just had, I thought it was pretty appropriate to talk about Valley Forge and really what they went through there. So go ahead and share your screen with us and start.
Oh, thank you, John. All these stories are in a book my wife and I put together called Miracles in American History, and we have a new hardback version of that with 50 stories. And we'll pick up with the Battle of Brandywine, and Washington lost on September 11th, 1777. And so he was forced to abandon Philadelphia. And so he has to now take camp outside of Philadelphia at Valley Forge. Meanwhile, the British landed in Canada and then were coming down the Hudson River Valley, headed toward Albany. And they were expecting the British General Henry Clinton to come up from New York and to join at Albany. And of course, the British did not come up from New York. British General William Howe decided he had another plan. So in European warfare, whoever captures the capital wins. The war is over. All right. So if you're capturing Paris or whatever, the war's over. Not so in America. So British General Howe thought that he would not help Burgoyne come down from Canada, but he would capture Philadelphia. Now, a little bit, the British did not promote people to general based on merit. It was based on connections. And if you're a rich, royal, connected family, you get to be made a general. And so they didn't have all the, sort of like today, you're promoted in the military, not because you're good. It's called intersectionality. The more minority groups you belong to, you can get promoted. So you can be the absolute best soldier, but if you're not the right color or sex or trans or whatever, you're not going to get promoted. That's sort of the way it was with the British. So they didn't promote people based on merit. And so you had personality conflicts. And so one general didn't want the other general to get the glory for winning the war. So you have this British General Howe forget the plan to help Burgoyne take Albany in New York. And instead he goes and captures Philadelphia. And the Americans have to go out of Philadelphia about a day's march, not really that far, and set up camp. And so I have all this in one of my American Minutes. When they evacuated Philadelphia, they took the Liberty Bell with them because they didn't want the British to melt it down into shot for their guns. And Washington gets the message from the Continental Congress because they're abandoning Philadelphia. And the order, last order that Washington gets was, until further notice, General Washington shall possess full power to order and direct all things relative to the operations of the war. So basically, Washington gets the memo, you're in charge of America. It's all resting on your shoulders. The Continental Congress is fleeing Philadelphia. One of the interesting things was Washington attempted to fight the British, but there was what's called the Battle of the Clouds. There was a torrential rain that dumped water, and all their muskets on both sides couldn't fire. And so the battle did not happen there. Then Washington led his 11,000 American soldiers to Valley Forge. And it's now December 19th of 1777. And that's where they take up camp, just 25 miles from the enemy in Philadelphia. And now another part of the story is, meanwhile, another 11,000 American soldiers were starving to death in prison. Could you imagine locking Americans up in prison and just letting them waste away for years? And anyway, these 11,000 Americans were on starving ships. So the British would capture American prisoners and put them in prisons. But when there's no prisons, they would turn schools and churches into prisons. And when they ran out of space, they decided to turn ships into prisons. And they would have a ship parked in the harbor with no food and just freezing cold. One was called the Scorpion, another ship Hope, another ship Falmouth, and Stromboyle, and Hunter, and Jersey. And there was actually a boat written called The Recollections of Life on the Prison Ship Jersey. Yale President Ezra Stiles recounted, he says, "Oh, that my head were water and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep for the thousands of our brethren that have perished on prison ships." And there's actually a monument in New York there near the harbor. It's called a memorial to the martyrs that died on these ships. And so Ezra Stiles goes on one of the ships, the Jersey, then lying in New York, perished about 11,000 the last 3 years, while others have been barbarously exiled to the East Indies for life. And the prison ship martyr monument stands at Fort Greene Park in New York in the borough of Brooklyn. Now, the soldiers at Valley Forge. Now, I want to point out that we have to pray for the January 6th people. I mean, here they are. The Constitution says a quick and speedy trial. You're holding people for 2 years, not even having the trial. And then any confession they make is considered under duress, which means it's inadmissible in a court of law. So any admission that these January 6th prisoners make while they're in prison is inadmissible in a court of law because they're giving it under duress. And so the soldiers at Valley Forge were from every state of the Union, and they were as young as 12 and as old as 60. Though most were of European descent, there were African Americans and American Indians. And among them were Marquis de Lafayette was there at Valley Forge, Colonel Mad Anthony Wayne, and I wrote a whole American Minute on him, how his name was borrowed and used by John Wayne and then the writer of the cartoon Bruce Wayne, right, Batman? Anyway, Mad Anthony Wayne was a Revolutionary War general. He was at Valley Forge. The future Chief Justice John Marshall was at Valley Forge. And then there was the Lutheran pastor who went from a pietist, don't get involved, to a get involved pastor, and he became a major general, and he was John Peter Muhlenberg. And then George Washington's Jewish physician, Dr. Philip Moses Russell, was there at Valley Forge. Now, lacking food and supplies, soldiers died at the rate of 12 per day, every single day. 2,500 froze to death in the bitter cold or perished from hunger, typhoid, jaundice, dysentery, or pneumonia. In addition, hundreds of horses perished in the freezing weather. A committee from Congress reported on the soldiers' feet and legs froze till they became black, and it was often necessary to amputate them. So imagine being in this flash freeze, this sub-zero wind chill weather, and not having a house to go in. They would just throw up little lean-to shelters and then try to have a fire, and they would just shiver. And wives and children were following the soldiers. They were called camp followers. Now, that term does not do them justice, because these wives that were following were the ones who mended the clothes, they did the laundry, they scavenged for food, and they cared for the sick. And they would sew the uniforms and the blankets. They were based, there was no ambulance service for Washington's military. It was just thrown together, and the women took care of all the wounded. An estimated 500 women died at Valley Forge in addition to the men. President Calvin Coolidge gave an address to the Daughters of the American Revolution, April 19th of 1926. He said, "We have been told of the unselfish devotion of women who gave their own warm clothing to fashion clothing, their own warm garments to fashion clothing for the suffering Continental Army during the bitter winter at Valley Forge. The burdens of the war were not all borne by men." And a surgeon from Connecticut, Dr. Albigense Waldo, wrote in his diary, "December 25th, Christmas, we were still in our tents and in the huts, the poor, suffering, sick, cold weather. We had to treat them now differently than what we used to at home under the inspection of the old women and Dr. Bolus Linctus. We gave them a mutton and grog," and grog was like rum mixed with lime, "and a capital of medicine once in a while to start the disease from its foundation at once. We avoid pitting pills, powders, Babus Lictus cordials," which were throat lozenges. Anyway, they were trying to treat the illnesses. 2 days before Christmas, George Washington wrote, "We have this day no less than 2,873 men in camp unfit for duty because they are barefoot and otherwise naked." 2,800 men. And then Washington adds that unless some great and capital change suddenly takes place, the army must inevitably starve, dissolve, or disperse in order to obtain subsistence in the best manner they can. So here is Washington. He gets the memo from the Continental Congress, "We're abandoning Philadelphia, you're in charge." And then Washington writes, "Unless there's some miraculous event, we're just going to starve or dissolve as an army, and of course the war would be over." The Continental Congress talked of replacing General Washington with General Horatio Gates. So now Washington has people on the inside politically trying to push him out. And so it was called the Conway Cabal. And it was orchestrated by Thomas Conway, who Washington had passed over for promotion. So this was like somebody in the government that was plotting against Washington. I mean, you think about the deep state, you know, imagine having a president and maybe people right around him, the vice president, secretary of state, attorney general that are plotting against him. And so this Conway Cabal, there was an anonymous letter sent to Virginia Governor Patrick Henry attempting to enlist him in this plot. Henry was a friend of George Washington's. He immediately sent the letter to George Washington to warn him of this insidious insider scheme. Maryland delegate Charles Carroll, and he's the only Catholic to sign the declaration, he was instrumental in persuading the Continental Congress to keep Washington in as commander-in-chief. And then there was a Hessian major. Hessians were Germans hired by the British. And his name was Karl Leopold Baumeister. And he made a note that the only thing that kept the American army from disintegrating was their spirit of liberty. So you think you have it tough. A farmer reportedly observed George Washington kneeling in prayer in the snow. Ronald Reagan stated in a radio address, 1983, "The image of George Washington kneeling in prayer in the snow is one of the most famous in American history." And there's even a Boy Scout handbook in 1948, and it has under the duty to God section, "You worship God regularly with your family in your church or synagogue, faithful to Almighty God's commandments. Most great men in history have been men of deep religious faith. Washington knelt in the snow to pray at Valley Forge." And so Eisenhower gave a broadcast in 1954, part of the American Legion's Back to God program. Eisenhower said, "We remember the picture of the father of our country on his knees at Valley Forge, seeking divine guidance in the cold gloom of a bitter winter. Thus, Washington gained strength to lead to independence, a nation dedicated to the belief that each of us is divinely endowed with indestructible rights. And so Washington writes a letter to Lieutenant Colonel Bannister, 1778. No history can furnish an instance of an army's suffering such uncommon hardships as ours has done, and bearing them with the same patience and fortitude. To see men without clothes to cover their nakedness, without blankets to lay on, without shoes by which their marches might be traced by the blood from their feet, and almost as often without provisions, marching through frost, snow, and at Christmas, taking up their winter quarters within a day's march of the enemy, and without a house or hut to cover them, and submitting to it without a murmur, is a mark of patience and obedience, which, in my opinion, can scarcely be paralleled. And then Washington sent a desperate plea to Virginia Governor Patrick Henry. For several days, we've experienced little less than a famine in camp and have had much cause to dread a general mutiny and dispersion. From every appearance, there has been heretofore so astonishing and deficiency in providing that unless the most vigorous and effectual measures are at once everywhere adopted, we shall not be able to make another campaign. So, in other words, send help or the war is over. And then Patrick Henry wrote to the Continental Congress, I'm really shocked at the management of Congress, right? And then it turns out that the quartermaster was General Thomas Mifflin, and he was caught up in that Conway cabal, and evidence points to him taking supplies and waylaying them in his warehouses, maybe even selling them to the highest bidder. And when Mifflin was confronted with this, he resigned. And so here's George Washington having his men suffering, not having food and supplies, and the quartermaster, the insider, the part of this cabal, was actually holding back the supplies from Valley Forge because he wanted to make Washington look bad so he could get replaced. Washington chose another new quartermaster general, Nathaniel Greene. And within days, the Valley Forge had clothing, food, and other supplies. And then one of the famous Christmas carols was written this time, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And it was called New Christmas Carol. And it has a line in there, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay, for Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, tidings of comfort and joy. That would have been a song that they would have sung there at Valley Forge. Well, there's more there, John, but I don't know if I should take a break here. But again, these are stories that are in the book, Miracles in American History. And I think your listeners, viewers might like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the thing that jumped out to me as I was reading through this, that's why I started with the scripture verse, feet and legs froze till they became black and they had to amputate them. Many of them were naked, didn't have shoes. You know, we don't get these images, even some of the images you got there on the website. The artist didn't really capture that, maybe out of fear of pornography. But I mean, if these people are running around naked with no clothes, no boots and no shoes, we really don't even capture that even in our artwork, do we?
No, the clothes would get wet, and then the threads would get loose, and then parts of the sleeve would fall off, or the shoe leather would fall off. And there were even reports of them cooking leather boots and right. cooking belts and eating that. And, of course, at the end of that, in February of 1778, is when the Prussian drill master Baron von Steuben shows up, and he was a member of the staff of the King of Prussia. And so where the British were hiring the Hessians, by the way, the Germans were trained in warfare, and they were like the premier military in Europe. And after they had gotten done fighting each other, all the different kingdoms, they would rent their armies out, mm-hmm. and that's who the Hessians were. Well, this von Steuben left Prussia and came and met Ben Franklin, and Ben Franklin recommended him to Washington, and he goes to Valley Forge, and he helps to train our soldiers. So here they are coming out of this freezing winter, And Baron von Steuben gives the orders in German. And then I think with Marquis de Lafayette translates from German into French, and then they get translated into English. I don't know. But he would teach them how to fight. And then there was a clergyman there named Henry Muhlenberg, and his son was the general John Peter Muhlenberg. And Henry Muhlenberg is the founding father of the Lutheran Church in America. And both of his sons served in the U.S. Congress. But he wrote a notebook of a colonial clergyman. And he said, I heard a fine example today, namely that His Excellency George Washington rode among his army yesterday and admonished each to fear God, put away wickedness, and to practice Christian virtues. From all appearances, General Washington does not belong to the so-called world of society, for he respects God's word, believes in the atonement through Christ, and bears himself humbly and in humility and gentleness. Therefore, the Lord God must also singularly yet marvelously preserved him from harm in the midst of countless perils, ambuscades, fatigues, etc., and has hitherto graciously held him in his hand as a chosen vessel. So it's just sort of a great testimony there from a pastor in that was at Valley Forge.
Bill, that's some like deep dive stuff. I want everybody to know that you do have a YouTube channel where all your American Minutes are. And then also, please tell the people where that they can sign up for these type of email alerts.
Well, thank you, John. My website's AmericanMinute.com, AmericanMinute.com. And they can, again, sign up for the emails or get the book, Miracles in American History.
Awesome. Bill, we always appreciate having you on the show. Again, I'm a history buff, and I think history has been sanitized and romanticized so much that it's people like you that we need. So I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. All right. God bless. All right. We're going to be right back. Talk a little bit about some modern type of warfare. We'll be right back.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages, or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name, and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration, and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Welcome back to America Unhinged. Please follow Bill Federer over there at AmericanMinute.com, especially if you got kids in a homeschool or in a co-op that somewhere, I mean, even in the public school, I think the kids need this more than anything. I'd always thought of just writing a history textbook with just the religious quotes from our founding fathers. And then, you know, they say, oh, you can't allow that in the school. This is history. We're just quoting history. We're not teaching scripture. But so anyway, that's what I did with my first book, Fighting the Next American Revolution. There's a lot of good historians out there that are doing that for you. I'd encourage you to at least go there and get my Appeal to Heaven book. It is now free. You can download the PDF book. You can download the audio book. And one of the members of Coach Dave's Salt and Light team said he thought it should be required reading material for anybody in the leadership position of that. So we're going to have with us now our good friend Clay Barger. Clay, he also has kind of a call on his life to do what we're doing here, this type of alternative media. Clay, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, John. Good to be here.
Oh, I'll tell you what, man, your studio is looking just wonderful. I know that, you know, I kind of walked you through and, you know, gave you a little bit of insight on what to do and how to make it look good. I'm going to tell you what, that's as good as anything I've seen.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. You know, we call this what I'm doing, Salt and Light of Appalachia, and it's an arm of Coach Dave Live, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer's Salt and Light Brigade. And so, you know, I've tried to incorporate some of the things that we have in Appalachia and our and growing up in the background.
Yeah, no, that's great. And that's the great thing about it is, I mean, God is raising up alternative media. You know, I started that news and journalism conference down in Texas 4 years ago, trying to raise up citizen journalists that'll speak, you know, not only on a national level, but especially around home and the things that are happening there. I know we're going to be working with the Resistance Chicks and Scott Kesterson from Bards FM to try to raise up podcasters for every community to hold their school boards accountable, to hold their, you know, their county commissioners, just anybody local. That's really what we need. Everything needs to happen from the bottom up, not from the top down, because, you know, history proves nothing ever gets done from the top down. It's always from the bottom up.
That's right.
That's good. Now, I know Coach has, you know, what we call huddles really all over the nation. You had us out there at an event. I appreciate that. My family loved it. You rented a camp and some cabins, and we had a good weekend of fellowship and teaching and worship. I mean, those are the types of things that we really need to do. And I don't person, you know, I can't do anything.
That's right. And listen, this is something that I marked today. I keep it marked. Psalm 94, 16 and 17. It says, "Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?" It says, "Unless the Lord has been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence." And that I read that a couple of years ago, and it really stood out at me and said, you know, who will do this? And it's us. We're the ones that have to do it. You'll talk to people all the time, every day. And when we start talking about how the world's going and what's happening to us, somebody will ask the question and say, "When are they going to do something about this?" That's what they say. When are they going to do something about this? And then you ask them, you say, "Okay, who's they? Who do you think's coming to your rescue?" And then they don't have the answer to that question. You know, we're the ones that's got to do something about it. And that's what happened to me. The Holy Spirit was talking to me and said, "Hey, brother, you got to get in the game." And I've got a little grandchild now that's 6 months old. And if we don't do something about this, then we're going to leave it for him to do. He's going to be the one that's having to cross the Potomac in the middle of the wintertime.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you've got a shirt on there that I love. And I think this is really kind of indicative of what's going on. Truth sounds like the hate to those who hate the truth. And that's really where we're at in the country. You know, you speak the truth and you see this venomous hatred towards those who speak the truth. And You know, the problem is when that hatred comes, I mean, Jesus said, you'll be hated by all nations. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. I mean, all of this stuff is supposed to be expected when you stand against wickedness. And most of the church is not standing against wickedness. It's not rising up and doing what it's supposed to be doing. I don't want you to turn around, but on the back. I went down that shirt. You know, how many believe evolution is a lie? How many believe that? How many believe? And they all raised their hand. And then I lifted that shirt up. I said, now, how many of you would wear this in public? In the midst of this perverse generation, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Well, there's too many people sitting in churches don't think they'll ever be denied. And, you know, so you're basically calling Jesus a liar. So, I mean, that right there is just a living testimony of, you know, it gets conversation started, don't it, when you wear out in public?
Yeah, and on the one of the things it says on the back of the shirt is abortion is murder. And I was wearing this shirt one day, and me and my wife were sitting at a restaurant. And I had my back to the open floor of the restaurant. My wife said, do you want to switch seats with me? And I said, why? What's wrong with this seat? And she said, well, wait, the back of your shirt is facing everybody. And, you know, we don't want to start a fight in here, do we? And I said, hey, if they're going to start a fight because I'm wearing this shirt, then the fight needs to be here.
Yeah. And you're just talking about what the problem is here. You know, we need the boldness and the courage. That's what they did. That's what the early church did. I mean, if you read Acts chapter 4, and that's part of my appeal to heaven prayer, you know, they just got beaten by their government, were told not to preach the name of Christ. They rejoiced that they were beaten for the sake of Christ. And then they went in the upper room in Acts chapter 4. And what did they say? They quoted Psalms 2. The kings of the earth have rebelled against you. Now give us the courage. And I think that's the thing, Clay, is we're not praying for the boldness. We're not praying for the boldness or the courage. If they knew that they had to go out and face the world, just like you did there at that restaurant, and go out there and tell people, you know, this is wrong, this is immoral, this is a violation of God's law. If they felt the need to pray for that type of boldness, I don't know why that's it right there. We need to pray for boldness and courage to go out in the midst of this perverse generation and speak the word boldly and speak the truth in love.
That's right. Let me tell you about something that happened here just over the last Christmas holiday week down in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Tennessee Theater. They had a drag queen Christmas show, and it was open for all ages. It wasn't for 18 and older. Any kids could get tickets to this thing and come in the Tennessee Theater. And the show, people looked into it, and the show that was going on in other cities, it was not appropriate for anybody under the age of 18. And so, thankfully, we had some people that stood up and decided to do something about this. So we started coordinating and calling the Tennessee Theater and, you know, hitting their website, sending a message and letting them know that we didn't like this coming to our town to begin with. But if they were going to do it, it didn't need to be for all ages. It needed to be at least 18 and up. And we ended up having Pastor Greg Locke come down. We had Pastor Sharam Hadian show up. We had Pastor Kim Peters of the Patriot Church down in Knoxville, located in Lenore City. And they ended up getting a lot of their congregation and other patriots from the area. And they showed up outside of the Tennessee Theater. And from what I understand, the Tennessee Theater ended up, because of the pushback, making it to where, even though it was a sellout, they sold all the tickets, they ended up having to make it 18 and over. And I'm not sure exactly how that worked out, if they ended up having to give some refunds, but they did make it 18 and older. And then on the night of the show, all these Christian patriots showed up, and they prayed, had a candlelight vigil out there and sang praise worship songs. And, you know, it's making a difference. Here's the sad thing, John. You could go to the abortion mill tomorrow, and there might be one or two, three people standing outside of the murder mill. Now, if you can show up to a drag queen Christmas show and you can, you know, protest that or let your voice be heard for that, is it not just as important or more important to help a child that's being murdered? So we've got a little bit of confusion here.
Yeah, we certainly do. And again, I mean, this just brings me back to Germany and Nazi Germany. And, you know, the train cars would go by and the people would be screaming and crying. And the church just sang louder, sang their limbs, you know, their hymns louder. And that's the problem right there with the Christian church just being so inward focused and inward centered. They don't understand that we're supposed to change the world. I've been teaching this to our congregation here recently. I mean, if you understand the Old Testament, when the territories were given to the tribes, the Levites were not given their own territory, but they were given all these cities within the other territories because they didn't want one religious tribe and then the rest of them, you know, turn into heathens at some point. They put the priests, the people with God's word, in every community is really what it was. And that's really, I mean, the sad thing is, Clay, and you were there. I went to I spoke at one of Mike Spalding's events, and there's a restaurant in Ohio. I'm from Ohio, and I really wanted to go to it while I was in Ohio. And it was only like 3.7 miles away from the church. And I remember counting 17 churches from the time I left that where we were speaking to where this restaurant was. 17 churches who were sitting around doing absolutely nothing, right, to oppose anything in their society, from drag queen story hour to homosexuality to separation of church and state. I mean, you remember what Jesus said, you are the salt, you are the light. You're good for nothing. I mean, that we can stop there. He said, thrown underfoot. But that's what we have, and that's the reason that we're in the situation we're in today, is we got a lot of basically social clubs, is what a lot of churches are, come together 45 minutes, I'll smile at each other, drink our little coffee, eat our donut, and then we go back out in the world and we do absolutely nothing to change things. That's one thing I appreciate about Coach Dave and Coach Dave Live, and the fact that he's raised up all these different huddles and communities. This is the type of stuff that's the type of leadership we need.
Well, you know, every morning, I'll go ahead and put it out there for those who don't know. We meet every morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. at CoachDaveLive.com. That's 7 a.m. Eastern. And one thing Coach asked the other day, he said, why aren't anybody doing anything? Well, here's what I answered. They're afraid of the consequences of being brave. They're afraid of the consequences of speaking truth and standing up. They're comfortable. Everybody is looking for, they've got years invested in a company. They want to see that retirement. They want to see their Social Security. They want to be able to sit back in their recliner and they fix their house up. And for the most part, they've got everything done. And now they just want to maintain their living style and go out to eat at their restaurants and watch a movie. And that's what they want to do. And they think they deserve that. And they want to do that as long as they can until until God finally takes them, you know. And then what they're hoping is that they'll either finally live to a ripe old age and die some peaceful death, whatever that would be, you know. And instead of doing something about it, they want to do that. And then if bad times hit, they think they're going to be resurrected. They think that they're going to be raptured up out of here and they're not going to have to see bad times. Now, here's the thing. Like I say, I've got a 6-month-old grandson. If I do that and I live to just be comfortable and maintain my lifestyle and go out to eat, then I'm putting all that on my grandson to have to do something about when I'm dead and gone. Now, how can you be on your deathbed and know it's the end of your life and know that you didn't do anything and you just left it all for your grandson to figure out? How are you going to be able to die peacefully? I'm not going to be able to do that.
So right.
I encourage everybody to get involved.
Exactly. And that's the great thing about Coach Dave Live, you know, meet every morning, 5 days a week. The way that I always see it and the way that I always think about it, you know, like a lump of coal. If you take a lump of coal and they're all you know, and it's all by itself the rest of the week, it's so easy to go cold. And when I was, when you were talking, I was looking up a scripture verse over in Acts, and he says this, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, into the church. And then he says, watch therefore, and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. They met every day in the morning and at night for 3 straight years, right? What effect do you think would be on our spirit and our soul and our heart that if we had met, you know, every morning and we met every night, we kept that fire burning and we encouraged one another with scripture? I mean, there's our problem right there. And I think that's why we're kind of like the Laodicean church. We're lukewarm at best, if not cold, and we need to be stoking those fires.
Amen, brother. If I remember, I was always on sports teams when I was growing up, of either baseball, football, something, you know, and you keep each other sharp when you go to practice. You know, if you're not around each other, you're not able to do that. So when you're around each other, you see the other person, you say, wow, they're getting pretty fit. You know, wow, he's putting on some weight. He's growing some muscles. He's getting some new skills, and then you don't want to fall behind. So you pick up your game, you step up your game so you can be competitive against these other guys. And if you're not around the team and you're not mingling amongst the team, all that goes away and you get real lazy. And there's nothing better than being amongst peers that are on the same level as you, that's putting all they have into what you're doing, and you build a drive, and it builds adrenaline, and then you become stronger as a team, and then you can rely on each other and trust each other and call each other. And you know how we are. You can call me and ask me something or ask me for a favor, and I can do the same thing for you. And that gives us a peace, but it also gives us strength in numbers, brother.
Yeah, certainly. And I always think, you know, just how much we can pray the word of God, right? I mean, Jesus said he returns, there's going to be two groups, the wicked, lazy servant and the good and faithful servant. I mean, that's pretty easy to pray, isn't it? Lord, when you return, I don't want to hear, depart from me, wicked and lazy servant. I want to hear good and faithful servant. It's a very easy to pray. Same with the book of, with the Laodiceans. You know, Lord, what am I? Am I hot? Am I cold? Or am I lukewarm? Because God wasn't happy with either the other two. You know, and that confused me for a long time, that he said, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. And I always used to think to myself, you know, secular employment. We had a guy that I worked with. That whenever he was around me, he's talking about God and the Bible and church and Jesus. And then he was around the heathens. Stuff anymore. But that's when I realized, you know, how much of a shame you're bringing to Christ by being lukewarm. By talking about God and there's a Christian, he goes to church, and look at him, he cusses and steals and cheats on his wife and everything else. And they really, you know, you'd be better just being shut up and just don't even mention God or Christ or the Bible. That's why I said I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm, because you do more damage as a lukewarm believer than you certainly do as a cold believer.
Yeah, I agree. And you're not going to be happy if you look warm. I'm telling you, if I can get one thing across to anybody out here that's got this little voice in their head that's telling them you're not doing enough and you're not sleeping good at night or something. If you get involved and you just give in and say, I'm going to say whatever I need to say and I'm going to do whatever I have to do and I'm going to accept whatever consequences come from it, then you're going to sleep better at night. You're going to feel better about your life. And you're going to feel something that you've never felt before, a freedom that you've never known before. We're all slaves unless you give up this earthly desire to have everything and being fearful. Do not fear, folks.
That's exactly right. Clay, dude, I appreciate you being on the show. We're certainly going to have you back on again.
Glad to be here.
All right, my brother.
Happy
thanks a lot.
New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year. All right. Hey, in parting, I want to tell all my listeners here, as a believer, you can never think about the consequences. That's not your problem. All right. Your problem is obedience to God and let the consequences fall where they may. If you look at the possible consequence, you will shy away from doing the will of God. Oh, I might get fired, or they might not hang out with me anymore, or I might get thrown into a lion's den, or I might get thrown into a fiery furnace. The consequences are not yours. The consequences you leave in God's hand. And that's what the Hebrew men said, right? God's able to deliver us. So be faithful to God. We'll see y'all tomorrow. God bless.